Right, hello everybody and welcome to Scottish Gamecast. I'm GStep UK, aka Gordon, and this is Craig, aka Press Hat. Say hello, Craig.
How are you doing, guys? Alright.
We're going to try and do a weekly podcast just now on YouTube until we get it up on iTunes, where we talk about games, games news, games we've been playing, and games we're looking forward to. We'll also be setting up an email at one point. I might leave it in the description once we've got this up and running, so you guys can send us feedback or email or questions you want us to answer at the end. So we'll start with what we've been playing, and I'll start with Darksiders. I've been playing it in preparation for Darksiders 2 coming out next Friday. You ever played Darksiders, Craig?
I have not. I've actually got it on the Xbox, but I've never played it. It's just been sitting on the shelf. Probably one of the games to play at some point.
You should definitely get in it. I was playing it last night especially, and I was trying to collect all the... If anybody's played Darksiders, I know there's this thing called the Abyssal Armour. You collect it throughout the whole game, and then when you replay it the second time, you get to wear the armour, and it like takes like 60% of your damage off you, so you're like near indestructible. But no, I like Darksiders because it reminded me of like a Dark Zelda, and I played Zelda for years, so...
Yeah, I heard that. A lot of people were saying that it reminded them of Zelda and that. Due to the way they like the kind of style of it, but...
Even just the way the game plays out, because it's like dungeons, so, you know, once you, you know, you would get an item, like in Zelda, like you would get a bow and arrow in Zelda, then we'd find it during the dungeon, you would have to use the bow and arrow a lot. So like in Darksiders, you would get wings or an extra bit of your armour or a gun or something, and then that would obviously, like there's a bit where you get a spinning kind of boomerang with spikes in it, and then through the dungeon that you get it, all the puzzles relate to that weapon, and you've got to use it to open doors and stuff like that, so it's quite like Zelda like that, like you use items to solve dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's big boss battles at the end where you pick up powers for them once you've killed them. But it's quite good. It's quite good, the lore as well, because it's all based around, obviously, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and you play as War, and then on the new one that's coming out next Friday, you play as Death. I was trying to think of it the other day. I think there'd be much of a game if you had to play as Pestilence or Famine. I kind of see how they would work that into a game. Maybe even Pestilence, because that's disease, so you could like poison people. But famine,
yeah,
you are now hungry.
I've never played Darksiders. I mean, I've seen gameplay of it and that, but I've never actually played it first hand, you know. But it looks interesting.
If you've got it sitting on your shelf, you should maybe just even give it 5 minutes and see what you think, because it is... I think, like with Zelda, it's one of the games, the types of games that you either love playing or you just play like 5 minutes and you're like, oh, I hate this, and put it back on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Are you played any of the Zeldas?
Yeah, I played the Ocarina of Time. Played that, yep. Got
classic.
Quite far through that.
I just when I was working at a video games retail store at Christmas... which laid me off, bastards. I got the limited edition 3DS with Zelda, the Ocarina of Time remade for the 3DS.
Oh, is that the black one?
Yeah, with the gold.
The gold tri-square on it, aye?
Yeah, that one.
Ah, oh, nice.
You guys can't see it because it's audio, but I'm showing Craig over the video call. I've got my 3DS. I've also got my Vita sitting somewhere as well, but that's not been... Has to been played much, but mostly Mortal Kombat when I'm taking a crap. right, we'll move on to Craig. What have you been playing mostly this week?
Well, I'm not going to lie. The thing I've been playing the most this week's got to be NHL on the Xbox. I know it's not really exciting to a lot of people, but absolutely hooked. I mean, we're out of hockey season now, and that's not really that interesting and relevant to...
No, this. I mean, you're talking to... I mean, if Americans listen to this, or even guys, obviously, from Scotland or England, I mean, they'll play FIFA or Madden, so...
Yeah, well, absolutely massive Philadelphia Flyers fans, so...
Yeah.
No.
Shout out
but,
to
yeah, moving on, anyway. Apart from that, I've probably been playing the Heroes of Ruin demo on my 3DS, because I downloaded that. I didn't actually know there was... a demo for that on the 3DS. You should check that out, by the way, Gordon, because it's online as well, so we can give that a try over the internet as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've I got Mario at Christmas, and I haven't been playing much ever since. But I know they've also put a demo on for. Oh, good gracious me! It's a really big Nintendo game as well. They put a demo on for it. It just went live last night.
Is that Kid Icarus? Is it that?
Oh, I don't think it's Kid Icarus. It's something else. This is going to annoy me now until I find out what this is. Sugar. I know. I was watching. There was a video. I'll link you to it later on. And it's like Nintendo released this big 20-minute video talking about their games that are coming out for the 3DS, like Scribblenauts and Kingdom Hearts. And I know they put up a demo for. In fact, that's what it was for. They put up a demo of Kingdom Hearts 3D.
Oh, right, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever played Kingdom Hearts. People probably know it quite well. It's basically Final Fantasy mixed with Disney.
Yeah, I've got for the DS, though, like the original DS, I've got Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days.
Right.
I've got that. I've played it for about 10 minutes and I get fucking bored of it. So.
apparently,
they didn't always get on.
They're doing a limited edition for the new one that's coming out in the 3DS. I mean, I've got the Kingdom Hearts on the PlayStation 2. I must admit, I've played the Final Fantasies more than I've played Kingdom Hearts because I don't know, something about the cartoon look didn't really appeal to me. But then again, Final Fantasy is based off manga, which is Japanese cartoons. This Heroes of Ruin, anyway.
That's a good game, by the way. It is actually like a clone of Diablo, and they've managed to like kind of compress it and put it onto the handheld. But it's actually like the first game on the 3DS that's using voice chat. Like, you know, it's not using a headset or all that. It's just you press, I think it's left trigger you press, and then you can speak openly to like whoever's in the party. I think it supports up to, is it four? It's either four or eight players. And it's basically, the top down view. And like, your dungeon crawl, you know, absolutely full or run about collecting loot and stuff like that. Actually, a really good game. I played it for a couple of minutes online. I think it was a couple of French guys over there playing it. But yeah, it was, I turned on for about the first five minutes I was on it, I was instantly online playing. I mean, it actually leans more towards playing it with people over the internet or in local multiplayer instead of playing it yourself because what the enemies are skilled like, their difficulty. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I was actually thinking about buying it the other day, but I don't know. I played the demo first and I actually liked it, so I'll probably will buy it at some point.
No, I'll have to check it out on my 3DS. Truthfully, I've not booted up my 3DS for a good while, especially since the Vita came out as well, because I was kind of hooked to that for the first couple of months. I was kind of disappointed at E3, actually, because Sony just came out with, hardly any games for the PS3, and then they announced actually physically nothing for the Vita. They didn't even mention the Vita, which was astounding, because they've just spent however many millions marketing it to people loved it, and now there's no games for it,
especially those adverts that they've got on in the cinema, you know, the pure cinematic guys running up the beach and all that, like Omaha and Shota and stuff like that, and then they're just flopped. I think it flopped personally. I know you've got. I know it still looks like an alright console to play, but
yeah.
I mean, as you've seen, the PSP sold better than the first week in Japan than it.
Oh no, definitely. But the thing is, because there's games. See the thing we watched in Nintendo's direct video last night, which kind of made up for their crap E3 presentation. They've got. It's astounding how many games they've actually got coming out for the 3DS. You've got Luigi's Mansion, Kid Icarus is obviously coming out, the new Super Mario Brothers, Kingdom Hearts, Scribblenauts Unlimited. Oh, God.
Yeah, and the Metal Gear Solid, the Sneak Eater that came out a couple of months ago. So.
Resident Evil, what else is coming out? The new Pokemon Conquest, Pokemon Black 2, White 2. And they've got a good few. I mean, their 3DS lineup for this year looks really good, whereas the Vita has nothing. I mean, I got Marvel vs. Capcom 3 when it came out, Shinobi 2, and something else, I can't remember what it was. But then obviously the only thing I've seen since then, since it's been released, and that was maybe last year or even this year sometime, was it March or something that came out? And No, in fact, it was January. And the only thing I've seen since then that I've bought is Mortal Kombat for the Vita. And they've just released a Burning Skies demo, which is Resistance. But there's hardly anything.
Well, the one that caught my eye for the Vita was Phantasy Star Online 2 that's been announced to be coming out in the Vita.
But that's coming out in the 3DS as well.
It's coming out in the 3DS?
Yeah, apparently.
Did that in the 3DS? Because how the graphics are like. But if it comes out in the 3DS, I'll be in line for that shit. As Pete Dole said.
Definitely. Right, we'll move into some news stories and we'll get our thoughts on these. We'll do one every week. I'll try and keep up with Kotaku and all the other places that are reporting news stories. But the biggest one that came out of Nintendo's 20-minute conference video yesterday was that in less than a month, they will be releasing the Nintendo 3DS XL.
Oh, another fucking cash grab, Jesus.
For $149.99, or you can get it at $109.99 with Super Mario Brothers 2. It comes in red, blue, and black.
Hopefully they won't release it in those pure ugly colours like they did with the first DSi XL that was like beige.
I know. Like,
oh god, lipstick red.
Apparently it's red, blue, and black. I think there's going to be a white one in Japan. But the screen's going to be basically the size of my phone screen. If everybody knows about the Galaxy Note, like the biggest smartphone that's out there, Craig will probably see it if I lift it off his charger. Like that's going to be the size of the screen. You can probably find some pictures online actually, but it's going to be 90% bigger than the last 3DS screen. It's going to come with an improved
90%.
Yeah. So it's
if you never get a sore head from playing that tiny wee screen, then fucking hell, you're in for a shocker.
I know. it's going to be a massive screen apparently. And then it's going to have an improved graphics processor, and it's going to have improved function for the... See what was actually stupid, I thought, in Nintendo. They've announced this new 3DS XL, right? And it's like the DS XL, which was obviously brilliant because bigger screen, bigger gaming. It's always fact that a bigger screen draws you into the game more. That's what makes folks sit at their tellies when they play their games. But they haven't included the second thumbstick. That's still an additional add-on.
Why? And then so you're going to be caring about this thing that's a bigger screen, and then why even? Then it's going to be even more bulky if you add that fucking circle pad on it.
Exactly.
That's going to be ridiculous, man. I don't get where they're coming from with that.
I mean, it just astounds me because I was like, well, you obviously announced this add-on because you were unhappy with the way the 3DS came out. Obviously, like the PS Vita in some way scared them because there's a Call of Duty obviously coming out at the end of the year for the Vita. And with the two thumbsticks, it makes it possible to play first-person shooters. But now they're releasing this brand new 3DS without a second thumbstick.
Do you know that is exactly what I thought? As soon as that actually like dropped the 3DS, and they're like, "Oh man, we need to release this circle pad," like managed to like tack it on to the console. It's kind of like, "Oh well, they must have forgot that."
Yeah.
Totally must have got that. But saying that, what does it actually plug into? See, when you've clipped that on it, what is it actually plugging into? Is there something on the back of the 3DS? I'm going to have a look at mine now. But what is it?
I think it connects through, like, wireless in some way. Because, you know how you get, like, your wireless, like, your download play and stuff like that? Like, works through, like, a Wi-Fi system? I think it's some kind of RF it sends out or something like that. I'm not too sure, but anyway, so
I don't know if David built the slyly and left a port sitting on the back of it and went, right, we'll use that for when we need to release the circle pad in a couple of months so we can get more money.
It's like day one DLC. It just doesn't run well with me, but I'm a Nintendo fanboy at heart, really. So, I mean, probably I'm going to get one if I've got money at the time. Like, August 18th, it releases in the UK with Super Mario Brothers 2.
Wrong way. It's my game been set up there, man. Changed a lot of it again. But, yeah, I don't know.
You think you'll be getting one?
I don't see why... I mean, they had a hard enough time with the 3DS when they first released that. You know, like they were had to price drop it. It didn't sell that well. And everybody, as I heard, like when I was listening to the old Gen Gamers, were saying they were talking about like in America when they were going to the store to get them. Like everyone's panicking. Oh, there'll only be enough of them. But there was actually so many of them that the people that had, like bought them, the other people that bought them all cheaper, like got them all before they came out, and then were trying to sell them. For
They
pure,
couldn't get them sold, aye.
yeah, they couldn't sell them because they were like, oh, just you can readily get them in like the shops because they're still available. So,
I know.
what Nintendo? Saying that, Sony's worse for it, man. No, I don't know. They're all bad as each other.
I know.
Microsoft's the only one that's still.
I know. I think a wrap up of that news story is probably that sigh. That probably says it all. A big sigh we've both done. That's probably the whole wrap up of what we think about the Nintendo 3DS XL coming out. Which will bring me to our next news story, which is Microsoft, another company that's usually out for your money. Segue. They have released plans online that they have now claimed ownership to. And these were leaked through it was some 52-page document. I don't know if you've seen it, Craig.
No, not seen it yet.
It's basically a 52-page document, and they've been calling it their 5-year plan roadmap. It's basically what Xbox is looking to do in the next 5 years. Some highlights from that were the new Xbox, and the new Kinect, which is like a sensor that sits on your wall. Crazy stuff. And also, they're going to be releasing augmented reality glasses. So basically, you'd put a set of glasses on that they supply you with, and you'd be able to physically see people standing in front of you and be able to touch them and interact with them through the sensor that's on your wall.
You've got to imagine how much this is going to cost, seriously. I mean, because at the point the technology is now, it's like fair enough, like Kinect, oh, it was a good £100. You know, that's still within grasp of reason, you know, because it came out a good few years after the Xbox came out. But then it's going to like, right, we're going to have augmented reality, another Kinect sensor going on your wall. It's going to
I
branch.
know.
It's going to branch over £300, possibly. And the thing is, as well, I mean, see, before we go into the whole story about the Wii U, that's another thing we're going to have to discuss about price as well. You're going to buy a controller that's got a touch screen on it. Is it a touch screen? Is it actually a touch
Yeah,
screen? It's on the controller.
touching, yeah.
Oh, so it's not just your casual screen that's on it. It's actually a touch screen on the
Touch screen,
controller.
yeah.
So
It's a
how
fully
much is that
functioning
going to cost?
tablet.
Honestly, man. Go ahead.
I know. Well, that's the thing. I mean, we were looking at, like, I mean, well, on two sides of the argument, one person was saying to me, well, the base version for the iPad is £400. Me knowing this because I've just bought one, the iPad 3 when it came out. So that was £400. And then people were saying, well, look at like Samsung tablets and all the Android stuff. You can pick up a Nook, I think it's called, in America for like $150, which is like £100 over here. For like a but so if you put a control plastic controls around a Nook, it would be maybe something like £150 out here. So that plus the console might be like 300 altogether. I'd hope they would package it as something like that, because if they made it any more than £300, I didn't think anybody would buy it. Because the thing is, it's like, I think Nintendo with the tablet especially, they're trying to break into the apps market like Apple has. And release because there's obviously for day one they've talked about all the apps you can get that go with the games. But then again with Nintendo, it's crazy because they hardly announced anything at E3. I mean, when they came out with their little 20-minute video yesterday, the majority of it was 3DS. The only thing they announced for Wii U was Dragon's Quest X. But I mean, like, the stuff coming for Wii U so far is, I mean, there's not going to be any Zelda launch or Mario game.
Pikmin 3.
Yeah, Pikmin's coming out. Zombie U, this Nintendo Land theme park thing, and
The thing is, see, when you play your Xbox, right, that is a serious game console. You know, you sit down with a controller and you're playing something, but then when you play. See, for instance, even now when you're playing the Wii, do you not find it's pure gimmicky? It's just like, oh, it's just like done for gimmicks. So I mean, this Zombie U thing, right? This looks, oh, it looks really good in that. And then you play it, It's just good. The gimmick might wear off, and you're like, oh god, I've just spent all this money in this console, and it's just like for a gimmick, you know?
I mean, that's the thing, when, especially with the Zombie U, you use it to scan for zombies, and I kind of like the thing where you can hold it up to the TV and it shows you like a different version of what you're seeing. That's kind of cool, especially with like Batman. I know with the new Batman game that's coming out for the Wii U, like when you're scanning stuff, your detective mode, you can obviously, like, on the TV, it's still the normal screen, but then when you hold the pad up to it, what you're seeing is the screen again, but in the detective vision.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing is, like, Arkham City and Arkham Asylum are on life, right? They're both less than £10 to buy there now. But the thing is, we played it on live as well. I can play that on my Mac, I can save it, I can go to my tablet, I can pick up the game again, save it, go to my phone when I'm out, pick up the game. Why Nintendo, Microsoft and Sony aren't getting into this cloud business is beyond me. Because, I mean, on a total side note, me being a creative type, using stuff like Adobe Photoshop and stuff, they've just released this thing called Adobe Cloud, where you pay, like, if you're a student, you pay like £20 a month, but you get access to every single one of the programs, and you can download it to any computer you go to.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking like a creative suite for Adobe would cost something near £1,000. But if you pay £20 a month, you can download Photoshop, Illustrator, After Effects, anything you want, and it's all the latest versions, the latest updates, which is a hell of a little bit. And that's the cloud again. And you can do stuff like it works with your tablet, your iPad as well. So if you sign up for the cloud thing, not only do you get to download apps to your Mac, but you also get to download them to your iPad. So you could use Photoshop or something like that on your iPad, save it to your cloud storage on Adobe, go to your desktop and finish it off.
Well, hopefully that might counter, like, conquer some of the piracy that they've seen. I mean, because if you go on Pirate Bay, it's absolutely rife for, like, Adobe Photoshop stuff, downloading that. So
but that's what makes it more appealing. So you've got Adobe obviously joining the cloud, On Live, which I've championed for the last 2 years, Gaikai, which is just getting into the frame, and they're going to obviously make it, they're going to deliver cloud gaming to Samsung Tellies. That was announced at E3 with Gaikai. Dave Perry, the guy who made Earthworm Jim years ago, and MDK, he's got this new company called Gaikai. You can actually go on it just now, gaikai.com, and you can launch games in your browser, like Dead Rising and Ghost Recon and stuff. You can play them in your browser. You don't need to download anything. And then you've got Netflix, which has been out for years. Netflix and Hulu, I mean, on-demand cloud videos. So, like, gaming really is, like, behind everything else. You'll find, like, Netflix and that have been out for years, but the gaming's just catching up to the
cloud. It's still to do with internet connections, I think. I think that's we're still lagging. I mean, because, well, in America and that, you can have 100 megabytes a second connections and that. And, mm-hmm. I mean, for instance, I'm on, I think, about 12 here myself. And if I go to, like, 10 minutes down the road, my friends get, like, 50 megabytes. But I can't get that here because due to the cables and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then, as Andy, we were talking to yesterday, he's actually he's getting 0.4 of a megabyte sent into his house, so that hence why it was taking him so long to upload so many, like, videos on YouTube. But, I mean, see if they could get all the, like, a minimum connection to every house across the UK and across the world, and then they could totally do away with
physical media.
You know, like, physical media, you know. But then that poses other question. That's going to put a lot of these shops out of business, you know. Like, we'll see HMV, Game, they're really mind if Game are just about to go out of business anyway. But then, and North America's terms, it'd be GameStop and stuff like that going out of business. But,
I mean,
I like having the box games. I like having the box sitting on my shelf, you know.
Yeah. I must have spent, admittedly, something like £400, maybe £300. Went on live in the last 2 years, getting games. But the thing is, we're on live, you can find sometimes, like, they have sales all the time. But,
it's,
I mean,
like, Steam, pretty much. Like, Steam sales here for, like, ridiculous sales sometimes, you know?
Well, that's it. I mean, see, when I originally got Darksiders, it was on a sale, a THQ sale, and I got Darksiders for £2, and a couple other THQ games for, like, £1 each. And, like, I got Mafia 2 for £3. Like, it was crazy stuff like that. And then, like, with this latest one that I've got, Darksiders, when I pure, like, because I'm a Playpack subscriber, so I subscribe to the Playpack, so I pay £6 every month, and I get access to every game in the Playpack, which is 250 games. But then it also means I get 30% off everything I buy on the service. So, like, the pre-order Darksiders 2, the new, it's £34.99. Minus my 30%, it comes down to £24.98, right? So I pre-order $24.98. I get Darksiders 2 when it comes out. It also upgrades me to the limited edition, and I get all the content delivered through the web. So like the making of video, the soundtrack, it all gets just sent to me. So I I'm not really losing out where other people get the limited edition. I still get what the limited edition get, and also get day one DLC. And then including in that price, I get an on-live game system, and they're worth £60. So
yeah, that was a pretty good deal. That's what kind of caught my interest with that. They were actually giving you the box to take out. But yeah. I mean, I think actually it's Ethernet. You need to connect that up with. I think when I was
you need
to get a better feed though.
Yeah, you need a wired connection. Well, if you plug in your Ethernet connection and you get at least 5 meg, you'll get 720p gaming. Because I got so many boxes when they first came out. I have one down at my dad's. So when I go down to his, it's plugged into his new HD telly. So I just, like, if I'm sitting about, I'm not really bored, I just put on the on-live box. And I can, obviously, if I just log in through my login, it means I can get all my games straight to the box. And it obviously keeps all my save files. So like,
yeah, that's one of the plus sides. I mean, that saves you having to, like carry your Xbox about and all your games and all that. So that's a major plus side for that in terms of cloud gaming. But
you need to wait
till the internet connections get a lot better.
Oh, no, definitely. But it means it's simple stuff, like even if you were going to your girlfriend's, say, and you had on live on your computer, and she had a box connected to her telly in the house, when you went to hers, if you were obviously playing games there, all your saves and everything, all your games are carried across to, you know, that box. You'd have to carry any physical media or memory sticks.
Well, Xbox, I've tried to kind of move that kind of way, with their... I mean, they've got cloud storage now on the Xbox. You can save your games in the clouds. I don't know if you can actually put like the arcade games into the cloud as well, because it was asking me if I could move that stuff into the cloud, but I don't know how much you actually get, like, storage-wise.
But, I mean, like, stuff like that, I mean, you obviously find as well, so with the PlayStation Store and the Xbox Live Arcade, or even the Marketplace, the majority of their games that come out now, you can find them online, rather than having to go out and physically buy the disc. I mean, I know... like something random, like ages ago on the PlayStation 3, when Infamous 2 came out, I downloaded it off the store rather than going and physically buying the disc.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming. I mean, obviously back to the original story, we were talking about Microsoft's 5-year plan. They reckon by 2015 they're going to have an Xbox cloud system, which will have all Xbox 360 titles and original Xbox titles or arcade games, everything that they have to offer on a marketplace will be in the cloud, which you can take anywhere you go. And also be able to play it through their tablets and through their phones. So the future is now.
I'm moving on to another story that I saw came up recently, a couple of days ago, was that Metal Gear Online on the PS3 shut down their online service. I don't know if you've ever played Metal Gear.
I did. When I got Metal Gear Solid 4, that was like something as well I was looking forward to. I was like, oh, that may be quite cool. And I must admit, I played it for like 10 minutes.
The online was absolutely brilliant. Hopefully when we see Metal Gear Rising come out, they might move the online service over to that. But it did see quite a good audience, because they said on like their closing statement for when it was shutting down the service that they only planned to have it running for 3 years after the game came out, and they had to extend it to 4 years after it came out.
Right.
So that shows it must have quite a big
some
following,
kind of fan,
you know?
Base, aye.
And what they did, like at the end of all the services that closed down, they gave everybody like all the expansion packs and all the reward shop stuff for free, just so they could use that just before it closed down, you know? But yeah, that's that going. But I thought that was good, because I used to play that quite...
I was talking about Thief Deadly Shadow, that's what it was. The fact that they got to put like a 10-year-old PC game on live, and I could play it through my Mac. But even that, being a stealth game, I just love stealth games. Like, I used to play Tenchu.
Tenchu, what a brilliant game. Was it Wrath of Shadows? I think it was the
360
one. It was on the PS2. I don't know if that was the third one for the PS2.
No, it was Tenchu Z, wasn't it, for the 360?
You could customise your guy and stuff. I never played that, but my brother played a lot of that. He said it was really good, but I could never get into it.
Well, that was good, obviously, because you could also use co-op, so like you could also make each other's ninjas, and you could go online together and do missions together, which was kind of cool, I thought. I wish they would just do a proper stealth ninja game and, like, even if you take elements for like Batman and use like the free flow fighting thing, the counter and stuff like that, because I mean Batman is practically a ninja, so if they could make some kind of game where you scoured across the, I mean Batman to me, that's why it appealed to me, because it was like being a ninja, because if you read the comics and all of the origin stories, and obviously if you watch The Dark Knight, they take it for the origin stories where he was trained by these ninja monks in the Tibetan hills, how to be hidden, how to stay stealthy, how to hide in the shadows, how to take down 20 guys at once. So he is practically a ninja. So that's why when Arkham Asylum was first announced and I saw the Predator gameplay, how you could hide up on the rafters and like swoop down and kill guys and go back up again, I was like, that's what I'd wish Tenchu had been for years. And Rocksteady got it in the Batman game, which is brilliant because it combined ninjas with my favourite superhero, which is Batman. But no, I mean, I know, I like stealth games. Metal Gear Solid is high up there on my stealth games list.
Yeah. See, Metal Gear Solid 5 has just been announced as well.
I noticed that they just said Kojima. I've actually got it on my list here. Konami, Hideo Kojima announces Metal Gear Solid 5, possibly to include Solid Snake.
Interesting. See, the thing was, because I thought it was dead. I thought it was before they had finished it. But the thing that was that caught my interest was that Kojima said that they had to go with a different. They never used their in-house production team to actually or developers to make the game like they'd done before. They actually for Metal Gear Solid Rising. They had to go with an external company to develop the game for them because they couldn't get the vision right for it or something. I think that was along those lines they were talking about as well.
I know, but the thing that annoys me with Metal Gear Solid Rising is obviously it includes the Metal Gear Solid characters, but it just looks to me like a Devil May Cry ripoff. You know what I mean? Like a blonde-haired hero going about with a sword cutting things up. I mean, I like the cutting technology where you can hit a trigger, like the left trigger, you can go into this slow motion mode where you can aim.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, and you can cut everything.
Yeah,
I forgot all about that.
And that looks cool, but I mean, the bulk of the game looks like Devil May Cry.
Nobody wants to go riding. Seriously, you played Metal Gear Solid 2, you were on the tanker, like, here we go, on the tanker, and then you got into the plant, you're like, oh, right, I'm some blonde-haired guy.
Well, that was the thing, like, Kojima always said that was his biggest regret, was putting Raiden as the main character in 2. He obviously said he originally done it because he was trying to show the audience Snake from a different angle, like, showing how badass Snake really was. But then you only see Snake in 2 for, like, God, like half an hour at a time.
He starts off as Pliskin at the start, doesn't he? And then he changes.
Exactly. So, I don't know. The things that annoy me with Metal Gear Solid Rising as well as day one DLC, which isn't just annoys.
Like this, probably.
No, I mean they've announced here. I'll just read the news story as I've got it here. Konami announces Metal Gear Solid Riding Revengeance will be available. Then it goes down. It says on day one DLC extra characters. So you're going to pay for an extra, and all it does is replace. It's like a skin. It replaces Riding with somebody else.
Yeah.
And they're going to charge something like 400 points, and I think it's $2.99 on the PlayStation Store. I could kind of understand it when there was Mortal Kombat, when it was Street Fighter, because a fighting game is just loads of characters. So that character obviously comes with fighting moves, with different styles, clothes, all this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you pay £3 for another skin for Raiden?
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be awkward. I mean, what if they had to, if you had to skin the character, and then how are they going to do the voiceover for that? They're going to have to rework all the voiceover for that.
Yeah,
but another story I've got in front of me here that might catch your interest is, will the Microsoft Surface Impact Gaming?
No.
I'm going to say no either, because no, Windows 8 is the biggest load of shit I've ever used. I used the development module for it, and my God, it's just designed to be on a tablet. If this ever gets put on a computer, it's not going to work.
I mean, like, people were like, I was watching IGN's Greg Miller when he'd done Up at Noon, and he was talking, he was doing like live reports for the E3, and he was talking about Microsoft Surface, and he was like, can we just use the controller? The controller's worked for so many years, can we just use the controller? You know what I mean? He's like, what is the point? I mean, they even came out with this thing, I think, which is related to this, if I've got it written down somewhere. Yeah, Xbox announced new Microsoft Surface PC. So it's a tablet, but there's the other side of the cover flips down and you can turn it into a full keyboard with a trackpad.
Yeah, I've got that right in front of me here.
Yeah, is that the one? Yeah.
They come in a variety of different colours. You can get light blue, you can get black, red, and you can get a nice pink, you know. Or white, actually, you can get white as well.
Oh, God.
Is that going to cost you? Do you buy the PC standalone, then you have to buy one of these? Because it is like a mat. How much are Microsoft going to charge for that?
Well, the thing is, they said it's also it's capable of gaming as well, so you can probably find that it's going to be able to run stuff like Civilization 5. But I was like,
Windows are never going to compete with the App Store and Apple at all. They'll never compete with that because basically Apple's built such an empire around that already. Yeah. And you see these Windows phones like with Nokia, you know, the Nokia Lumia and all that.
Yeah.
They totally fail. And I actually, in a side story about the Windows phones, because we're talking about Windows and like Microsoft, because the Windows 8 UI is actually it looks a lot like the Windows Mobile.
Yeah.
You know, like the panels, it's using this panels layout stuff. So basically, when I was in Carphone Warehouse talking to one of the people that worked there, they were saying that they got all the iPhones in at one point and they pure sold out brilliant, sold amazingly, and then they got the new Windows phone in and they're like, oh, this might sell. They get 5 of them in total into the whole shop in Brayhead, like the shopping centre, and like 3 of them wouldn't start up. You couldn't actually turn them on. They try and display them. And then they never sold them, they just couldn't sell them at all. Fuck Windows phones. Don't buy a Windows phone. That's all I'm saying. Buy a bloody. Well, now you've got a bloody Android phone. What we're talking about?
I know. Well, see, the Samsung phone isn't a Windows phone. The Android, I was running Gingerbread, and then I'm running Ice Cream Sandwich.
Android's more competitive than Windows. If you have to put it in a spectrum, in my own opinion, I think you'd have iOS at the top, Android, and then Windows at the bottom. But Android, I mean, they're trying to punch in with their App Store is alright. I mean, I just think it's less secure than what Apple is, because Apple monetize everything that goes on their App Store, you know. So
Apple's Apple. I mean, a lot of people obviously have problems with Apple because they're everywhere, their stuff's overpriced, but everything works. Like, I was a PC gamer for years and years and years and years, and I built my own PCs and whatever else, and I was a gamer. But then as soon as I got my Macintosh, the funny thing is, I wouldn't be on YouTube. I would have never started my old channel, Video Games Not, which I started 4 years ago, if I didn't have my Macintosh, because my Macintosh got me into using my camera. iMovie made it easy to edit videos, and then enough years of using iMovie, I've now moved on to the adult program, which is called Final Cut. So, if it wasn't for Apple, I wouldn't be such a creative person. You know what I mean? Apple has counted for a lot of my creativity. Like, especially even, the stuff like Photoshop and design. Most people I know who are professional designers, one of my friends, Darren, he works at a graphic shop and they make signs for shops. He's got a Mac Pro with a 30-inch display. Every industry leader, especially the guys who use Pro Tools to record bands, they've all got Macs. You can say what you want about Macintosh, but they work. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan. If I had the money, you know, I'd be all over that, you know, but just running my Windows 7 box in it, you know.
That's it. No, well, even stuff like your iPad and your iPhone, that's enough of Apple for mess 4K.
Definitely, man.
So, I mean, and then the iPhone 5 is obviously coming out at the end of the year,
I'll be upgraded to that at some point.
I know. Well, Siri, way hey.
Yeah.
But that's
because my iPhone 4 that I've got now, actually, I was sick of the black version of it. I don't know if this is probably irrelevant to this podcast, but it's white now. I actually changed all that myself.
I know, you can get the covers, you can just date yourself, if you just pry it off with screwdrivers and stuff.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it's intricate. See the size of the screws and Apple stuff? My God, they make it so they don't want you to get it off.
Oh, no, I know. It's the same
just
with
sitting
that.
Sitting there, intricate, man, changing it all. But it actually worked out perfectly because the screen still works and all that now, so...
What else have I got news-wise? Are you a Modern Warfare 3 player? Do you play Call of Duty?
Not really, no. I'm more of a Battlefield man myself.
Oh, well, me
very
too.
Big into Battlefield 3.
Aye, so we'll not bother about the new maps coming out, because nobody cares.
That's a sweeping statement. The Modern Warfare community, the up in arms, that's it. We're not getting any fucking views for them. They're just like, right, fuck it, I'm putting off now. But if they have listened to this point, then that is quite a substantial amount through this podcast. I don't even know how long we've been on the phone for here. But
I think we're clocking about 40 minutes. So we'll start closing out. We'll start talking about upcoming games. I'll just rattle off all the games.
Rattle off a few names and I'll see if I'm interested.
Yeah, we'll just randomly talk about some of the games. Obviously, next week we've got the London 2012 game and Darksiders 2 coming out next Friday. Hitman is obviously coming out in November. The new 3DS will be out in August. Call of Duty will be out in, I think, October, November as well.
Nobody's buying that.
Ratchet and Clank HD will be coming out next month, and also Assassin's Creed 3 is due in November, I think. So, and then obviously the Wii U at the end of the year. So,
you missed this one, Gordon. You missed Risen 2. I'll be buying Risen 2, and that comes out in next July. That's coming out actually. So,
all right, cool. I've never played Risen right enough, but.
People say it's absolutely terrible, but I actually quite like it. I buy a lot of underrated games. See, if you look through my whole Xbox 360 collection, there's a lot of underrated gems in there.
See,
a lot
of
people
like,
slight it, but
I was like, I love Devil May Cry, but folk just think it's crap. But I love old school hack and slash games, even stuff like God of War, which is also a modern take on that. But even stuff like what was it called, Fatal Frame, that was out in the PlayStation 2 years ago. They're making a remake for that, and I'm so looking forward to it. Fatal Frame is where you went about the Be Haunted House in Japan, and you took photos of ghosts. Did you ever play that?
All right. I've never played that one, though.
And also, talking about remakes and stuff like that, there was another... Oh, Sugar, what was it called? That was it. It was a... I can't remember what it's called now. I can't remember what that's called, but I'll move on. Catherine. I also was well into Catherine... Before it got this big European release, I watched all the Japanese playthrough stuff, and because I'm into anime in a way, I got it through an otaku magazine, and they were talking about this new game coming out for the Xbox and the PlayStation. It was called Catherine, and I was well into that before it came across to America and Europe. You ever played Catherine?
I have not. I've seen a lot of videos about it, though. I've listened, heard a lot of old-gen gamers talking about it as well, because they were quite...
Because it's anime, really, so. That's probably why. But see, the limited edition I got out at GeForce in Glasgow, and it was like it comes in like a pizza box for the pizza place he eats at.
Did you get a t-shirt with it?
No, I got boxers.
Is it boxers? I've seen that in North America, they were giving the boxers with it, but I've seen on game that they were saying it was a t-shirt you were getting. I say you changed it up or something like that.
Well, the one I got was the... My version's the North American version. But obviously you can play it on the PlayStation 3 because it's region free. But I got you get boxers, a soundtrack, an art book. You get this big thing because in Japan they've got these big long pillows you can get that are like the height of like women.
Mm-hmm.
And you get this cover so you can put it over the top of the pillow and it's like Catherine's lying next to you. Aye, I know.
Brilliant.
Aye.
But back to games coming out. Well, that is games that have come out recently, we're talking about, I suppose. But other news of games that have just come out like in the past week, mm-hmm. or a week and a half, this might interest you, of what GameSpot have been saying. That should be a segment in itself. What have GameSpot said about some games this week? Right, so we'll get Steel Battalion, Heavy Armor, right? Raved up. I got a 3.5 on GameSpot. But that's not the funniest story that GameSpot have been punching out with this week. The game Inversion came out. It looks quite quirky, you know, floating about, shooting people and all that, right? But the one-liner that GameSpot give this is brilliant. I think it's the best one-liner I've seen. You know, like they sum a review up in a one-liner, like before you read it all? It says, right, here we go. Inversion is a trite, third-rate shooter whose one saving grace is that it's so bad, it's funny. And they got a 4. How the hell got it?
I know. I saw the IGN review for that and Steel Battalion actually, and I couldn't believe the low scores because they were like two games I was looking forward to coming out actually, especially Steel Battalion with the Kinect. Because I mean, you used to get the old Steel Battalion game on the original Xbox and it came with a 120 button controller.
Massive fucking heard about that, yeah. But I mean, I watched Angry Joe playing it, like you know the new Kinect one, and he kept having problems. I don't know if you've seen that video where he kept having problems when he's moving stuff and that. He's just like, why is that doing that? And then he just kept getting killed in it. Yeah. I think that's the Kinect. I'm not a fan of Kinect. I think it works. But...
We'll kind of sum up the upcoming games, and we'll finish with one question, and that is, will you be buying a Wii U?
No, probably not. Well, it depends. See if, and a long answer, I'm going to long answer it. See if somebody else buys it first, and I go around and this is how I basically got an Xbox, my first original Xbox. Somebody else had a shot of it, and I wanted it. So if that happens with the Wii U, I have a feeling Andrew will actually buy one. So we'll try his out. But if he buys one, I'll try that, and then if I like it, I potentially might. It depends what games come out for it. I mean, if it's going to be all this like gimmicky stuff, then...
Aye, I'm the same. Know? I mean, see, the thing is, when you watch, or I watch a lot of YouTube videos where people talk about, are you getting... Because it's such a big question people have asked everybody, and they're like, are you getting a Wii U? Because everybody, like, nobody can say yes or no. Everybody's like, every single person you watch doesn't say yes or no. What they say is, well... if games come out for it that I like, and maybe, I don't know, and I'll have to see how much they're going to charge for it, and like, nobody can decide, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's always like dependent on what's going to be on it and stuff like that.
Because I mean, like, they could release utter crap. Like, they could come out with just, I mean, I know there's a new Smash Brothers coming in the works. I mean, Nintendo isn't even making the new Smash Brothers. They've passed it over to Namco Bandai, the guys who make like Tekken and stuff, so
yeah. You seen the first game that's coming out for a bloody another Mario that looks the exact same? I mean, it's getting to a point where it's just,
I know,
that's a cash-in project. I mean, you get the casual gamers that will buy it for their kids and go, oh, look, there's Mario out in the Wii U. Yeah, yeah. I'll get that for the kid. You know, I'll get that. Fucking, there's 40 quid for something that you've already got in a 3DS, which Super Mario 3D Land is probably going to be better than it.
I know. That's crazy. It's even like, I mean, their first gimmick when the Wii U was shown was stuff like the transfer and the game. So like, if you're playing on your telly and somebody wants to watch the TV, you can transfer what's playing on your telly onto your tablet, so you can continue playing the game. But then I was like, does that solve a problem? Is that something that's like rampant throughout America? Like, people try to play games on televisions. And like,
oh, everybody's got a telly in mind. You can buy a TV for like god buttons in my case.
I don't know. Cash Converter's right for selling cheap tellies, but I mean, well, like, example with me, like in my house, like obviously downstairs, Melissa has like the TV and stuff, and then obviously when her friends are over, they sit in the couches downstairs, have wine, and but I've got my own games room, so I can come into this room and play games night and day and no bother anybody. It's a total man cave, but that's what I'm saying, like. I think most people, especially guys who are into gaming, have a setup somewhere that can go away for everybody and play games.
Oh yeah, definitely. It seems to be, but I mean, maybe they're aiming it more at the casual gamers. You know, like, you have the kids sitting with you, and then they go, "Oh right, I want to watch this on the television," and so they'll go, "All right, here, play that on that."
Yeah.
Wow, I'm watching that. But that's the only thing I can see. But I mean, even kids these days have got like TVs in every room. I know that makes me sound very old, but you know, it's true.
Oh no! Well, one of my wee cousins just recently got an iPod Shuffle with a wee screen in it, and you can wear it as a watch and stuff. You know, like the wee square iPods.
Oh yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, when I was that age, I would never get an iPod. That was for like her birthday, and I was like, "All right, cool." But most kids I know actually have got iPads, which you can watch Netflix on. So I mean, again, I don't know. I mean, when I originally saw it last year at E3, I was like, that looks cool, because it's different. And somebody had to eventually come out with a tablet controller. And I mean, it was just, somebody had to do it, and it had to be Nintendo. But now, as times went on, and their E3 conference was basically all of the crap, they didn't show any games, they didn't show any decent features, they didn't show anything that we wanted to see that would make... Because that, like, E3 that just happened a couple of weeks ago was their last push to say to people, this is why you need to buy a Wii U.
Like, they never did it.
Exactly. I mean, they showed Zombie U, they showed Batman, which is booting every console, every iteration. Pikmin obviously looks decent enough. And then, no Smash Brothers, no Mario, no Zelda. None of the franchises that really matter. And then, I mean, they've even said that the games they showed at E3 will be in the launch window. So you might find there's like three games at launch, and then you're waiting like 6 months for Zombie U or something decent to come out. So it's just, that's what I mean. Like, that was the last push before the console launches, because they've said that they're not going to be at Gamescom in Germany, which is like the biggest show in Europe. 275,000 people go to it. And Nintendo and Sony, no, sorry, Nintendo and Microsoft aren't going to be at Gamescom. So I didn't understand how they're going to market the Wii U, because I can say after this E3 that's just passed, I didn't think I'll be buying one. No, at launch day anyway.
I mean, they had enough time trying to market the 3DS because you can't show 3D off, so...
Yeah.
They're going to have... I don't know. I think they're biting off more than they can chew if they're not going to have a body.
I think... See, the thing is, my vision for Nintendo, if they could go into the cloud, right, like something stupid, like see on live, right, they released, in the play pack, they released the Sega Mega Drive collection. And it's got 40 plus games in it, all Mega Drive ones, Sonic, Toe Jam and Earl, Comic Zone, all the old ones, Gunstar Heroes. It was the most played play pack game ever. If Nintendo or Sega or somebody like that could get a cloud system working where they offered their entire back catalogue, NES, SNES, Nintendo 64, GameCube, if they could get the entire back catalogue in a cloud system, they would make a fortune. An absolute mint. Because, I mean, especially with retro gamers like us, I mean, who would they pay to have access to every single Nintendo game that's ever been released?
Yep.
So...
They need to get their act together.
I know, it's crazy, because, I mean, like I said, that was the last push until they released the console, and I think, like the 3DS, them thinking it's going to sell well, I think it's going to get to the Wii U launch and there'll be, like, hardly anybody buying it. Because who... See, after the Wii, who really needs another console? I mean, you're even their new Wii Fit thing, I'm like, well, you can still just play the original Wii Fit. It's just...
Are they bringing out another one?
Aye, the Wii Fit U, but it comes
with... Oh, my God.
Well, the thing is, it comes with this pedometer that you'll probably lose after the first play, but you clip it onto your trousers as you walk about during the day, and then when you get home, you upload it to your tablet thing, and the workout you do, like walking during the day, plus the one you do in the Wii Fit U, it all tallies your calories for the day. But, no. I was like, nah. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting couple of months watching this build up to see how they're going to market it. But I personally, I'm not going to buy one first. Unless between now and Christmas, they come out with something phenomenal. See, the thing is, if I guarantee it, if they had came out in E3 and says, here's an HD Zelda for the Wii U, the pre-orders would have went through the roof. Because how many thousand people would want an HD Zelda on the new Wii?
I still don't think the graphics are still up to par, maybe like the 360 and that. They're still hanging back from...
I mean, people are always saying, oh, look at the graphics. I'm like, well, that's what the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox have now. And they're just releasing it. You know what I mean? So the technology they're releasing now is like 5 years old.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
I don't know. That's the thing. They worry though, man. Like Nintendo got a business at some point if they keep.
Well, it happened to Sega, and Sega never thought it would happen. So I hope it doesn't, because Nintendo obviously see, even if Nintendo went to releasing like Sega, and they just released software to like, if you could get like a Zelda game on the Xbox, you know what I mean, or a Mario on the PlayStation. But I mean, I don't know. It's. I think they're doing fine. It's just, I think maybe the Wii U is going to make or break them, and I think the way it's looking now is going to break them, because they reported 2 months back that in this financial year they took a 5.3 million loss, and they blamed that to the poor exchange rate and the bad sales of the 3DS. But when it gets to the Wii U, I think they're going to be in serious trouble. So.
Yep.
We can only hope that they do well, because me being a Nintendo fanboy, I want them to keep making limited edition 3DSs so I can buy them. Anyway, right, so I think we'll call it quits there, because we're ramping up an hour, and we're running out of crap to talk about. But alright, so thanks guys for joining us. We'll probably try and get an email set up, like I said, so you guys can start sending us comments or questions you want to ask us or topics you want us to discuss. I have been Gordon. You can check out my channel. It's youtube.com/gstepuk, and Craig's is?
It is youtube.com/presshat.
Cool. So if you subscribe to either one of us, we'll both have the podcast up. This is Saturday, so maybe Monday. It depends how quickly we get the video up and running. I'm probably going to spend this weekend getting my Minecraft Monday set up and ready. That's also something me and Craig will probably be doing over the future. We're going to try and get some commentary going between games. We're just talking about doing it on Live with Saints Row or Dead Island. And also, we're going to try and get a private server set up for Minecraft so we can play that together and also do commentary together. Cool. Okay, guys, thanks for joining us. And check back next week. We're hopefully going to try and get another episode again next week. And we'll speak to you later.
Yep, see you later. Bye.